Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world. A champion in that battle space at the moment, most especially, is our first guest. He is Senator Jim Inhofe. He is the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, a senior member of the Senate, having served in it since 1994, and a man who is in the midst of the nuclear, meltdown that is taking place there at the moment. Senator, as we speak, this program will air after the events of this morning, but we're talking about them before them. What happened last night in the old Senate chamber, and what do you expect will take place today on the Senate floor?
Well, Frank, my good friend Frank, I know you have sympathy for me when I have to go through these things, but we were in the old Senate room last night, chamber, for several hours, and anytime you put 100 senators in, let anyone talk as long as he or she wants to talk. Everything was said in the first 30 minutes. It's just everyone hadn't said it. And so it went over and over again. The issue is this. The Senate is different from the House in one major respect, and that is it takes a supermajority to do a lot of things. The issue last night was the nominees of President Obama as to whether or not we are going to confirm those. And since they don't have the votes to get a 60 votes for confirmation, they said, well, when we're talking about Harry Reid, we're going to go ahead and just do away with that and do it by a simple majority. They can do that. This is something that should not be done. I'm not quite as critical of the Democrats as others are, because I can remember when Republicans were talking about the same thing. They didn't do it. Well, today we're going to find out what happens. But last night it was not resolved. Everyone had a say, but again, it wasn't resolved. So we'll see. The nuclear option then would mean that the majority in the Senate, Harry Reid and the Democrats, would be able to do anything they want to do by a majority vote, 51 or 50-plus percent. That's not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing. It's quite frankly, it's just not the way the system is supposed to work.
Indeed. Senator Inhofe, I'm struck by some of the comments that Harry Reid himself made back in 2005 when it was last considered by Republicans when they were in the majority, and that was that it was the last check in Washington on the complete abuse of power and that it would be illegal, not fair, and un-American, among other things.
Yes, we read those last night. I didn't. Other Republicans did read those last night. Statements that Harry has made in the past, statements that, quite frankly, all of the Democrats and Republicans have said in the past. It's something that should not happen. And I just can't believe that they're going to go through with this, but we'll find out.
We will find out.
By the way, there are several of the individuals that were of concern. There's one of them that I've been more concerned about, and that is Gina McCarthy. And I think she'll go sailing through. But all of the problems, I know you and I, we're supposed to be talking about just the defense stuff, but think about the number of people listening to us right now. Whether they're farmers, whether they're businessmen or women, they're the ones that are being hurt by the over-regulations that are taking place right now in this country. And she is the one of them who's, is responsible for these regulations.
More will be forthcoming. More will be forthcoming. I very much agree with you that I hope this won't happen, Senator. By the time we air, we'll know. Thank you for holding the line as best you can. Senator, let me turn to a couple of things that are very much in your wheelhouse as the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. You have been quite critical of what the Obama administration has been doing with respect to missile defense. It now seems as though the program is really coming unglued. What's happening to our missile defenses, and what needs to be done to get them back to where we need them?
Well, first of all, there's never been a time in history when it's more significant than right now. Our intelligence, and it wasn't even classified, has said since 2007 that by 2015, Iran is going to have a weapon and the capability of delivering that weapon as far as the United States. And yet, we are reducing our missile defense. Way back in his first budget, and you and I have talked about this, we knew he was going to be the most anti-military president in this country's history.
In fact, when his first budget came in,
if you'll remember, I went to Afghanistan so I could respond to it. And that's where he did away with our only fifth-generation fighter, the F-22, did away with our lift capacity, the C-17, did away with our future combat system. But what did he do? And you, your listeners are probably some of the few people who are aware of the significance of this. When he did away with our ground-based interceptor that he was preparing in Poland.
That President Bush had proposed, indeed.
He had proposed it, and we were already underway. We had the Czech Republic and Poland agreeing to do this. Now, when you take that out, that was primarily for the protection of the eastern United States, because we have now, we're going from 30 to 44 ground-based interceptors, but they're all on the West Coast. And the to get something coming from the other direction would be much more difficult. So that was the reason. Now they're talking about maybe an East Coast site, but they have just decimated our missile defense in terms of the plans that were on the line to protect the United States, particularly the East Coast of the United States.
Yeah, and I know, Senator Inhofe, you and your House counterpart, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Buck McKeon, have been worried, in addition to these cuts, that the missile defenses that we do have, the 30 some 44, if we're lucky, won't work. The most recent tests have not been encouraging with respect to the ground-based missile defense system. What do you think is happening there?
You have the CE-1, the CE-2, but we need to be testing these things. We can get into the discussion also, our whole nuclear arsenal. We need to be testing, and in terms of the last two, we had two of the CE-2 versions that didn't quite work. I mean, they actually worked, but it gets pretty technical. We need to keep testing these until we can very easily get to the point where we know without a question that if a missile comes to the United States, we're going to be able to kill it and knock it down. But we can't do it unless we're testing them, and that's been the biggest problem that we have. Yes, we had two that didn't work, and they were the interceptors that are actually used in 10 of the 30 ground-based interceptors in the West Coast.
Yeah, deeply worrying, and I commend you for the work that you're trying to do to get that additional test program going, and more generally, rehabilitation of our missile defenses under present circumstances, all more needed than ever. Very quickly, in the closing minutes, Senator Jim Inhofe is our guest. He is a senior member of the United States Senate, one of its most influential voices on national security matters. You have been raising an alarm as well for some time, Senator, about sequestration and the effect of these cuts. Your former colleague, Secretary of Defense now, Chuck Hagel, has seemingly confirmed your worries, as has the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Winfield. Talk to us about what is now becoming evident in terms of the impact of these cuts and what it will mean for our defense capabilities.
I think, first of all, we have to look at the overall picture, Frank. We have our military is 18% of our budget. And yet sequestration is they're having to take 50% of the cuts. Now that's really enough said right there, because it shows that we have this anti-defense attitude in the White House. So if you talk to the chiefs, I'm talking about all five chiefs, because we want to include the chief of the guard also. They all say that we are either there or we will be when sequestration continues at the hollow force that we were in the 1970s during the Carter administration. We all remember, some of us don't remember personally, I do, but some don't. And that's the situation that we are in right now. So we have already taken, he has already taken $487 billion out of the military. The sequestration would be another $500 billion. Every chief has said that this is, we're just disarming America. And finally, the people have wakened up a little bit around this country, and we saw that just recently they've changed one of the positions. For example, on April 9th, 16 of our air operations were grounded. In other words, the pilots weren't flying. We have pilots out there right now, as we're speaking, who haven't flown an airplane since April 9th. As you know, I guess, the last active commercial pilot in the United States Senate, so I'm a little more familiar about this issue. It costs a lot more money to bring these people back up to proficiency than it does that money that is saved by taking our airplanes out of the air. Then you have the maintenance problems out there, too.
False economies that leave us vulnerable. Senator, we have to let you go. I know you've got back to work looming here, but just your response to Admiral Winfield's concern that we will be unable to respond to future crises is of the utmost importance. We appreciate your service to our country, sir. Keep it up, and come back to us again very soon, if you would.
I would do it very soon, Frank.
Thank you, sir.
And then we're going to talk about Egypt in some detail, too.
In fact, Senator, we're going to be talking about Egypt next time with Matt Brodsky, also about Israel's red lines in Iran right after this.
We want to know what you think. Leave your comments at 1-800-332-7131.